All right, welcome to the Let's Talk About Poop podcast. My name is Dr. Samir Islam. I'm a board-certified gastroenterologist trained at the Mayo Clinic. I currently work a little bit gastro, so come see us for all your GI needs. If you're new to this podcast, every week I do a deep dive on a topic, and then later on I go into more detail of that topic, and towards the end of the podcast, I answer your questions you guys ask me on the live stream as well. We stream this live on all my social media channels. If you want to get a hold of us, don't forget to subscribe. That's the most important thing. Leave a 5-star review. Apple iTunes and Spotify, they apparently love that. But also, if you want to have your topic or question addressed, send us a DM, send us a comment, join us in the live stream as well. We're on my social media channels. We can do a deep dive on that. So we have a great show today. So we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, hemorrhoids. Oh my gosh, I know. This is a topic that people are embarrassed to talk about, but you're having issues because I see you guys in the office for this. We'll talk about exactly hemorrhoids. We'll do a deep dive on exactly what are hemorrhoids. We'll talk about exactly what are some of the symptoms, what causes hemorrhoids, and at the very end, I'll talk about the treatment options that we can do to get your hemorrhoids taken care of. So let's begin. What exactly are hemorrhoids? Hemorrhoids are dilated veins in the bottom that are there for nature, from God, whatever you think, but it's to help out with the pressure in your bottom. Your bottom has a lot of pressure in there, and it uses that pressure when you're sitting like I am right now, or if you're straining, or you're pushing hard, or you're lifting heavy things. It acts as a cushion to help out with things going on in the bottom. As you do more and more of these activities, so obviously, you know, straining or pushing or sitting down for a long time, that cushion bed gets larger and larger and larger to help protect your rectum. And over time, those dilated veins actually develop into what are called hemorrhoids. Now, there are two main types of hemorrhoids that we have. There are internal hemorrhoids and there are external hemorrhoids. So let's talk about external hemorrhoids first, because this is a very common misconception that a lot of my patients have. So external hemorrhoids are ones that you can see in your bottom. These are ones that people kind of notice, like, oh my goodness, what is that going on there? These are external hemorrhoids. Now, here's the dealy. I think it's what kids say now, the dealio, what you need to know about external hemorrhoids. They don't cause symptoms. In the vast majority of people, they cause no symptoms whatsoever. Now, they may not look very pleasant. They may not look very nice, but they're typically asymptomatic. And so, if you feel like you're having issues from your hemorrhoids and you think it's your external ones, guess what? In most cases, it is the internal hemorrhoids that are causing your symptoms. So let's talk about internal hemorrhoids. These are ones that typically you don't see. Now, there are four main types of internal hemorrhoids. There's type 1, type 2, type 3, and type 4. You don't really have to worry about that. We can know this based on our clinical exam and what we see. But basically, you have hemorrhoids that either stay in the rectum or the hemorrhoids that can pop out and go back in, and they're hemorrhoids that can pop out and stay out. Now, the vast majority of symptoms are from internal hemorrhoids. So if you're feeling you're having hemorrhoid issues, in most cases, it is from internal hemorrhoids. So why do people get hemorrhoids? We talked about this briefly. So let's go over the main causes. So number one, sitting for a long time. So a lot of my truck drivers or people who are in office work, they have hemorrhoids because they're sitting on down for a long time, because that pressure in your bottom causes you to sit there and expands those veins to help out with that cushion and cause hemorrhoid symptoms. Number two is pregnancy. Virtually every single female that I see that has had a pregnancy will develop hemorrhoids at some point in time. And it's that pressure of pushing that baby out can cause you to have hemorrhoids. Number three is constipation. So straining a lot and pushing a lot or sitting on your toilet a lot can cause you to have hemorrhoids. The development of the iPhone has been monumental in the progression of hemorrhoids. Because I know you guys are sitting on the toilet scrolling through social media, scrolling through your iPhone or Android, and you're sitting on the pot longer, that is causing hemorrhoids to occur. Next is lifting heavy things. When you lift heavy things, that pressure, that bearing down, will cause you to develop hemorrhoids. This is why very commonly weightlifters develop hemorrhoids, because those back squats that you're doing, those heavy squats, that will cause you to develop hemorrhoids. And sometimes you can develop hemorrhoids just because of life. Half of patients over the age of 50 will have hemorrhoid symptoms at some point in time. That's a crazy statistic. So if you're over 50, there's a good chance you're going to come see us for your hemorrhoids. So what are the main symptoms of hemorrhoids? How do you know if you have them? I get this question all the time. So number one is bleeding. So rectal bleeding, number one, is never normal. And keep in mind, rectal bleeding could be a sign of other things going on. Now, the most common cause for rectal bleeding, especially bright blood, are hemorrhoids. So if you have rectal bleeding, come see me. We can find out what's going on. We can do an investigation. We can see if you have hemorrhoids or not. Number two is pressure in your bottom. You feel a sensation of something's going on there, some pressure sensation in your rectum. That is a very common symptom of hemorrhoids. Number three is rectal pain. Now, rectal pain is due to a lot of other issues as well. There could be a fissure or a tear going on. There could be a thrombosis hemorrhoid going on. There could be a cancer going on in your rectum, and it could be a hemorrhoid as well. That's also another common symptom from hemorrhoids. Rectal itching. Does it itch down below? Does it like cause irritation down below? Do you feel like just that itchiness going on? Or a common reason for rectal itchiness are hemorrhoids. Now, other things that can cause itching, including a fungal infection down below, sometimes other lesions could be going on as well. The most common cause of rectal itching are hemorrhoids. And then lastly, feeling unclean. This is a very common symptom, and it's such an annoying symptom because you feel like you have to wipe and wipe and wipe all the time, and you don't feel clean. If this feels like you, there's a good chance you could be having hemorrhoids that could be causing the issues to get worse. So how do we treat hemorrhoids? Let me tell you some of the non-medical options. So number one, we need to make sure you don't sit on the toilet for a long time. So if you're having issues with constipation, come see someone like me so we can address exactly what's going on. Number two, if you're sitting on the toilet for a long time because of your iPhone, your Android, you're scrolling through social media, that could be another reason. So limit that as well. Don't spend no more than 30 seconds to a minute on the toilet. Number three, if your diet is low in fiber, increase that fiber. That is a simple fix to naturally get you symptomatically feeling better. It can also help with constipation. Whether it's fibrous foods or things like Benefiber, Metamucil, these things work and these things help out. Number three, sometimes adding what's called a squatty potty or a stool can change the angle of your rectum to make it easier for things to flow through as well. Now, these are things that can help out, but they don't get rid of hemorrhoids. Because once you've had symptoms, it's not a matter if, it's a matter of when. And when they do come back, it can come back with a vengeance. And so when I see somebody with hemorrhoids, they try some of these things, there are sometimes some other ways we can hopefully manage this and see what's going on. My job as a GI doctor to see, A, is your symptoms due to hemorrhoids, but also number two, are there other non-surgical options when it comes to hemorrhoids? Because another treatment is surgery. Now surgery, it sucks for hemorrhoids. It is not fun. Patients hate it. Doctors hate it. Everyone hates it. We try to typically use surgery as a last resort, meaning if you're having these issues, you need to find out and come see us if there's a non-surgical option to get your hemorrhoids taken care of, because we have ways to fix your hemorrhoids before they go on to surgery, which we'll talk about. Now, some people may want to consider using creams, things like witch hazel, preparation H, or other prescribed creams. This can help out in this short-term option whenever your hemorrhoids are actively inflamed or you're having active symptoms. But guess what? It doesn't fix the problem. It just puts a band-aid on what's going on, but doesn't actually resolve the issue. And so the best way to resolve it is either surgery, which we don't recommend, or do what I do, which is called hemorrhoid banding, which is typically a quick, easy, and painless procedure. Most people have three hemorrhoid columns that are there. The reason we have three columns is that's the way nature made us. Blame nature, blame God, I don't know, but that is the way our anatomy is. And so we place a rubber band around each column. What it does, it strangulates the hemorrhoid and then you poop it off. It does not hurt. It takes about 10 seconds and you feel the urge to poop. Now, the important thing about the hemorrhoid banding is that this is a non-surgical option, meaning you don't have the pain, you don't have the recovery, you don't have to sit on a donut for weeks on end like you would with surgery. But not everyone is the right candidate to get your hemorrhoids fixed in a non-surgical fashion. This is why, if you're having any symptoms, get them fixed before they become too big, before it becomes too late, before surgery is the only other option for you. Listen, hemorrhoids suck. It is not fun. It is a pain in the bottom. But if you're having these issues, don't feel like you have to sit for the rest of your life suffering from hemorrhoids. Come see us where we can find out exactly what's going on get you feeling better, and hopefully get a better resolution for why you're having your issues as well. Don't suffer in silence. Want to make sure that you can get you taken care of as well. One question is asked is a question about fiber. Soluble versus insoluble fiber. What do I recommend as a GI doctor? So this is a very good question. Fiber is one of those things which can be very confusing for a lot of my individuals. So we know that soluble fiber is typically the fiber that we want to do. And the best soluble fiber that we have out there is one called psyllium. P-S-Y-L-L-I-U-M. This is the best fiber for your gut. It can help out with all gut issues and hopefully get you feeling better as well. Now, when it comes to fiber, there's two ways you can ingest fiber. One is with foods, and the best foods for fiber are plant-based foods. So if you can incorporate more plants, especially a variety of plants, this is the best option for you. But if you can't do that, there are some over-the-counter fibers we recommend. The ones I recommend are Benefiber or Citrusil. These are the fibers that are synthetic, so you don't have a lot of bloating and side effect with that. So these are ones that I recommend in my personal clinic, but if you want to try other fibers, it's perfectly fine. Keep in mind, you need to try to aim for 25 to 30 grams of fiber per day. So that means look at the fiber content and make sure you can incorporate that into your diet. It's going to help out when it comes to your gut issues, helps out with a lot of other issues as well. And we've seen evidence that fiber can help out when it comes to heart issues and other things outside the GI tract as well. Another question, great question. Hey, Dr. Islam, why do I sometimes find mucus in my stool? Well, there are a lot of reasons why. Number one, mucus can be normal. Keep that in mind. For a lot of my patients who have IBS, mucus can be a sign of that. It could be a normal finding, but it can also be a sign of another condition going on called colitis. Colitis is an autoimmune disease in which your body attacks itself, and sometimes it can manifest as mucus as well. So if you're having issues with mucus, the thing I would recommend for you is to come see someone like me to see exactly what's going on. Do you have other associated symptoms with that? So for example, do you have weight loss? Do you have chronic diarrhea? Do you have blood in the stool with that? If you have these things, this would make me more concerned about a colitis. And if that's the case, we may want to do further investigation to see what's going on. If it's not that, if you don't have that, we still may want to investigate because this could be a first sign of other issues like IBS. So we can hopefully get a better idea of exactly what's going on there. It's a great question. So DJ asked, what about the feeling of heat down below? Is that a sign of something going on? So that sensation of heat is a very common symptom of hemorrhoids as well. And so I have a lot of my patients who have spicy foods that notice that burning going on in their rectum. That burning in the rectum can be due to hemorrhoids, could be due to a fissure, or could be due to other rectum problems as well. So if you feel like you're having that sensation of heat or burning down below, especially in your bottom, come see us where we can find out exactly what is going on. And in that assessment, we may do a rectal exam to see what's going on and may do a scope to see what's going on as well so I can fully understand what is taken care of. And sometimes fixing those hemorrhoids will allow you to relieve that heat so you can have those spicy foods and enjoy that without having the discomfort down below. It's a great question. It's a good question. So Bohi asks, hey, Dr. Islam, what is the role of the vagus nerve when it comes to IBS? It's a very excellent question. I will tell you, we are initially finding out exactly the details behind this. So we do know that the vagus nerve does play a role when it comes to IBS. Whether it makes IBS symptoms worse or better, we're learning into this. We're also seeing that the vagus nerve can also play a role in upper GI issues, things called dyspepsia, so bloating, pain in the upper GI tract. And sometimes stimulating the vagus nerve can make things better as well. And we actually have new contraptions and devices coming out in which we can stimulate the vagus nerve. The things that you can do, sometimes doing a massage in this area where your vagus nerve is at can help out as well. Sometimes meditation can also affect your vagus nerve by minimizing the stimulation going on inside your gut. And sometimes we can prescribe medications to hopefully minimize the vagus nerve stimulation can make things better for you as well. So really doing a deep dive into some of the reasons why the vagus nerve is involved. And I'm hopeful that more things will be coming up in the future to hopefully manage and treat GI issues, IBS, and dyspepsia with vagus nerve stimulation. It's a great question you're asking, Bohi. Thank you for asking. Great question by Ron. Ron asks, hey, Dr. Islam, why do I stay bloated all the time? All right, let me know in the comments if you guys want me to do a deep dive on bloating, because if that's the case, this is a whole special I can do. So I'm going to do a tease of this. So one of the reasons that you're bloated could be what you're eating. And sometimes food can play a role when it comes to bloating. So a couple things I recommend for anyone that has bloating, cut out dairy. Doesn't matter, cut it out. You may not realize you're lactose intolerant. Number two, cut out artificial sweeteners. So artificial sweeteners are sugars that you may not be able to digest. And you may not realize that a lot of the foods or drinks that you have actually have artificial sweeteners in them. So cut them out and see how you do. Number three, try to eliminate some of the more common triggers for bloating. So onions, garlic, broccoli, cabbage, apples, pears, Brussels sprouts, foods that are good for you, actually have a trigger that can make bloating worse as well. These are what are called the high FODMAP foods. FODMAPs are certain foods and carbohydrates and sugars that are difficult for some people to digest. Sometimes eliminating those foods will make you feel better. There's a whole workup that we do in our office. If you're having bloating, so come see us or watch my other videos where I can talk a deep dive into bloating as well. So Christina asks, hey, Dr. Islam, what's the dealing with projectile vomiting? Let's talk about this. So vomiting, especially these cycles of vomiting, is a very common problem that I have. And guess what the trigger is? For a lot of my patients, it's marijuana. So there's a condition called cyclical vomiting syndrome, which is associated with marijuana. And basically my patients who have this have these cycles of nausea and vomiting, and then cycles when they don't. And then cycles when it comes, and cycles when it doesn't. And one of the more common reasons is marijuana use. And so people smoke marijuana for a lot of different reasons, I understand this. But what marijuana does, it actually upregulates some of the receptors in your gut to cause nausea and vomiting to occur. So you use marijuana to help out with nausea and vomiting, but when you stop, those receptors are craving that marijuana and it can manifest as more nausea and vomiting. So you smoke more, you develop more receptors, you have more cravings, you have more symptoms, it ends up being a vicious cycle. So there are things that we can do to recommend that. So obviously number one, we recommend stopping marijuana. Number two, there are some supplements we can recommend, coenzyme Q, L-carnitine, capsaicin, these can help out. But sometimes we have to prescribe you medications to hopefully minimize those triggers, minimize those cravings as well. So if you want me to do a deep dive on this, let me know in the comments down below and let me know what you guys think. All right, guys, that's the end of our podcast. Let me know if you like this. Subscribe, like, share, give me a 5-star review on Apple iTunes and Spotify. We produce these every single week and I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Well, thank you for watching. Tune in next week for our next episode of our podcast. Hope you guys have a great and happy and safe week. Thanks for watching, guys.